Done. All right, we're in a study here at Northwest in the book of Matthew, and so we'll do just a little bit in Matthew chapter 3, and then we'll get to some baptizing here, which is exciting to do, and appreciate all the ones came to support those getting baptized. And so it's this idea that Jesus shows up at just the right moment. And sometimes someone's being talked about, they're being talked about, and then they show up. Now, the school that I went to, and I grew up in Puyallup, so I went to a school called Rogers High School, and played on their football team there, and we really weren't very good. We're kind of medium. And we weren't very big, and I remember one day, it was before practice, it was in the summer, you know, the summer practice right before school starts, and the coach kind of called us together. He said, "Guys, I got some good news." And he said, "I got a call from somebody that's being transferred from Texas to here. And their dad called me up and wondered if he'd have a spot on the football team for his son named Hezekiah that they call Butch." And he's like, he's like 6'3 and 280 pounds. The coach said he dropped the phone. This was not an iPhone in those days, like an actual phone. You could drop those. So he's like, "This guy's going to come and for his senior year join our football team." We're like, "Yeah, we won't be as terrible." And so we're waiting, and this guy shows up. He's just huge. He is just huge. And he's not, you know, a soft 280. This guy was a thick 280, and we couldn't hardly handle him, right? He was just, it was great to have. And we were still kind of a mediocre team. So anyways, that part of the story wasn't as good. But the point is, we were waiting for this guy. Like, we finally got a big guy to come to our team. And if anybody calls you Butch, there's something, you're not going to mess with that guy, right? And so when he showed up, there was like, yes. And this is what's happening in the book of Matthew. There's a guy named John the Baptist, and he's out, and he's preaching in the wilderness, and he just keeps saying, "Hey, the big deal isn't me, it's the guy who's going to show up," right? Just like our coach said, "Hey, we've got a big guy going to show up and make a difference on our team." John the Baptist saying, "Hey, there is someone going to show up. You think I'm important? I'm not that important. There's someone way more important that's going to show up, and he's going to make a difference. He's the one." And so that's this whole thing, is John the Baptist is preaching and talking and teaching, and then Jesus shows up. And so I'm going to read the chapter here. This is to flow us in from last week to this week, so we get a sense of John the Baptist and then this moment when Jesus shows up. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You get the sense that he just always was a yelling sermon. Repent! Right? You get that kind of feeling, like James does. And okay, he's not that loud. Okay. "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So John's out in the wilderness, and he's just shouting, "Get right with God. Get ready for God." Now here's what he wore. John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He was in the Fairhaven program at Western. No, sorry. If you go to Western, no. So he lived out there. He wore the garment. He lived off the land. He was in the line of Elijah the prophet. And it says, "All Jerusalem and Judea and the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." So out in the wilderness, John's teaching and preaching, and people are coming out there, and they're going, "You know what, I need to get right with God." They confess their sins, and they're baptized, a baptism of repentance. So that's what's going on. And then the religious leaders show up, and John freaks out. He says, "When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" Now, this is not good information for the welcome greeter team, but for John's team, it was important, right? For John, he said, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." He was calling out hypocrisy among the leaders. "And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. See what he's doing? There's someone coming. A great one is coming. A mighty one is coming. I can't even carry his shoes. That's who's coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So John's laying it on him, right? You guys need to repent. This fake religion stuff's not working. The great one is coming. The mighty one is coming. And then you get to verse 13. It's really in the present tense. It says, then Jesus comes from Galilee. It's like right at the moment. He comes walking in. Right in the moment of this intense sermon, he comes there in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. So let me just make a few comments about this before we baptize today. The whole point is to be all in. To be all in. So I want to see that in this account here. The first thing is that Jesus is all in. Jesus is all in. It says he comes down right at that moment. He shows up. He comes down from Galilee to be baptized in the Jordan by John. But what? John's stopping him. John says, no. I need to be baptized by you. Didn't you just hear my sermon? I just said a great one's coming, a mighty one's coming. I can't even carry your shoes. And you're telling me to baptize you? He's like, this is backwards. This is backwards. And then Jesus says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. So Jesus just makes this statement, let it be now. This is right now, we're doing this. This is fitting. This has to happen to fulfill all righteousness. And then John did it. Well, what does that mean? To fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is sinless. The people getting baptized are being baptized as a confession and a repentance for their sins by John. And so John's like, what is going on here? Why are you getting baptized? And Jesus says, this is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. What is he getting at? If he's already righteous, what is he getting baptized for? Why does he say that? I want us to jump over. I'm going to show you here in 2 Corinthians 5, the mission of Jesus and how this fits and why this baptism was important. Paul tells us, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's what we're going to celebrate in baptism today. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the beauty of the gospel message right there, that you can be restored and reconciled to God, and he won't count your sins against you. That's what we just celebrated at communion that Rick shared with us. You're reconciled, the relationship restored. God won't count your sins against you when you give them to Christ. And then he says, and he gives us the message of reconciliation. Then it goes on. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And here's the key right here. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin. So I got a little diagram. Here's the people coming to the water to be baptized. They were being baptized, demonstrating repentance and cleansing for their sin. Today, when you're getting baptized, We're after the cross. So you're being baptized to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You're being baptized to symbolize cleansing and new life. You're being baptized, like it says, into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're being identified with the Father. But Jesus, again, was sinless. So Jesus shows up and he says to John, this has to happen. This is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus shows up. What is he baptized into? He is baptized into sinful humanity. Not his own sin, right? What did he tell us? He made him who knew no sin to be sin. Baptism is an identification. The Lord Jesus said, I need to be immersed into the fall of humanity. I need to be baptized. I need to be immersed to identify with their sin, not his own. And so this was the approach. There, we're being baptized to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus said, first, I'm going to be identified with the fallen state of humanity. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. This is where Jesus steps in and he takes it on. I'm being baptized to identify with you. Jesus is all in on his mission, fully identifying with sinful humanity. He's all in. And John tries to stop him. He's like, no, don't stop me. He's all in. The Spirit is all in on Jesus, right? So as soon as he comes up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. So we have Jesus identifying with us. We have the Holy Spirit identifying with the Lord Jesus. This was fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah 11. It says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Pastor Mark showed us a few weeks ago that Branch is the root name for the town of Nazareth, Branch Town. So Jesus grows up in Branch Town. And he comes, and it says, how do we know if he's the Messiah? It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of the Lord visibly rests upon him. So we have this identification that the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is all in, saying the Lord Jesus is the one. He's anointing him for his mission. The Father is all in, right? This is one of those few places in the Scriptures you see the triune God operating all at once, God the Son, God the Spirit. What does the Father say? Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. He said it out loud. God the Father said, this is the one. This is my beloved Son. I don't have time to go too far into this, but there's actually three phrases in the original. This is my Son is one phrase. The beloved one is another phrase. They've kind of combined them here in the English, with whom I'm well pleased. But those three phrases actually line up with the beginning of Matthew that says that Jesus is the Jesus Christ, the Son of David and the Son of Abraham. I don't know if I have time to show you them all. Maybe I'll go real fast. Psalm 2 is a psalm that talks about the kingship of David forever. Psalm 2:6 says, as for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will make the nations your heritage. It's an anointing psalm of King David, and Jesus is Son of David. So he's showing that at the baptism, God the Father said, this is my son. He's quoting Psalm 2, the Son of David, the anointed one. He also says he's the beloved one, which is a quote from Genesis 22, the opening story when God tells Abraham. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. It's the beloved one, whom you love, and go and offer him. And so Abraham takes Isaac up, and it's a test. He doesn't have to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac. He's delivered. But God the Father sends his son, and he doesn't rescue him. He does go to that cross. So Jesus here is in this announcement. He's saying, this is my son, son of David. This is the beloved one, the son of Abraham, with whom I am well pleased. Isaiah 42 said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. Isaiah promised the servant of God would come. So God the Father is announcing with one announcement, this is my son, son of David. He's the beloved one, son of Abraham, with whom I'm well pleased, the servant, the suffering servant of Isaiah. And he's affirming it out loud. A lot of times that's a deep wound in people's lives. Didn't hear any love from the Father. But the Lord Jesus at the start of his mission hears an out loud affirmation of identity, of authority, of love, of pleasure. When you come through Christ, that's what we're looking for. Well done, good and faithful servant. You can hear it through him, just as he heard it. So we have God the Father announcing that. So we want to see this idea that being be all in. Jesus was all in identifying with the sins of humanity. The Holy Spirit was all in putting himself on the Lord Jesus. God the Father was all in with his announcement that this is son of David, son of Abraham, my servant. He announces it. And then interestingly, when does baptism reappear in Matthew? We got it right here at the beginning. It doesn't actually come back till the very end. Baptism doesn't come back till after Jesus' resurrection. It says Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So at the beginning of Matthew, we have this presentation and announcement of Jesus from the Spirit, from the Father, and he's saying, I am identifying with the fallen state of humanity. I'm fully identifying with their need, even though I'm sinless. And after Jesus' death and resurrection and defeating of the power of the grave, he says, now you can be fully identified with me, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The same three that appeared at that baptism, we now get to be baptized into that name. The name of the Father who created you. The name of the Son who saved you. The name of the Holy Spirit who gives us life. So it's this picture of being all in. Jesus is all in. The Spirit is all in. The Father was all in. And he says, now you go and make disciples and baptize them so they will be all in. That's what's happening today. These three are all in for the Lord Jesus. They're going to tell you the story here, and then we're going to baptize them. If you're here today and you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus and I need to be baptized, you come right down here. We've got shorts and t-shirts and towels. You ready to get baptized today? You're ready to announce publicly that you're a follower of Jesus? You can do that today. You can do that right now. If you're feeling a conviction, come over here and announce to this room that you're all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are all in. Thank you for that you died and rose. Thank you that we can be invited into you. Lord, I pray again that your courage and strength on these ones here getting baptized. And I pray for others that you're working in their heart right now. If you're calling them to publicly declare their faith,